Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Just stand. We're going to read some scripture. I'm going to read, start in Proverbs 3. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. For she, oh, I love this. She is more profitable than silver and her revenue is better than gold. Who is the she? Wisdom. It's pretty cool. Wisdom is personified as a woman. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peaceful. She, wisdom, is a tree of life. Can you say that? Tree of life. To those who embrace her and those who hold on to her are happy. In Genesis 2, 8, 9, down to, and also 16 and 17, the Lord God had planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had formed. The Lord God caused to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food, including the what? Tree of life. Say that again too. Say tree of life. The tree of life in the middle of the garden, as well as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Lord commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree. How many trees could they eat from? Any tree except this one, the tree of knowledge and good and evil. The day you eat it, you're going to die. What does that mean? We'll get into that later. But why don't we just pray? Put your hand over your heart. Say, Jesus, open my heart. Put your hand on your head. Say, Holy Spirit, quicken my mind so I can hear you as you speak to me and deposit life in me. Open my ears. Amen. Amen. Go and have a seat. Well, we're starting this new series called Unusual Wisdom. It's going to be a bit unusual. The whole idea is, what does it mean to live a good life? What is your idea of the good life? You got an idea of yourself about what's a good life? Maybe it's something you think about. Maybe it's something you don't think about. Maybe it's something you pursue. Maybe it's something you don't pursue. What is a good life? Well, this is going to be just for fun because it's always fun to laugh. I went to some AI art generating websites and says, show me, draw for me what the good life is. So here we go. This is my, look at this one. Men, the good life for you is sitting across the table, across a beautiful woman in a mountain piscura scene with a red halter top on. That's so funny. This is the good life. You have, oh, and this is even better. The good life is if you're bald, you can still have a ponytail. That's so funny. But look at, this is a good life, drinking margaritas with your old sweetie, looking over some island mountain somewhere. The good life. And look at this. The good life. Now, the good life is sitting in the middle of a busy urban street with two rescue dogs. If you could zoom in, their eyes are kind of like, if you've ever seen AI art, for some reason, it can't get eyeballs right. So the dogs look like they've been mashed in. So you're sitting there with your rescue dogs with a little, I have no idea what that suitcase is. And if you can see the girls, her eyelashes are a little bit smudged on the bottom. This is a good life. You know, I think it's safe to say we all want the good life, yes? Nobody alive wants a horrible life. We want a good life. But the question is, do we know how to get it? Do we know how to get the good life? Young people, do you know how to get the good life? Old people, do you know how to get the good life? You know what? Proverbs 3:16, I love how the Living Bible words it. It says this, wisdom gives a long, good life, riches, honor, pleasure, and peace. The good life, where does it come from? It comes through living a life of wisdom. And today is going to be kind of foundational for the next couple weeks as we go through this series. And so what we're going to look at today is we're just kind of laying the groundwork, getting us all on the same page, but we're going to look at the backstory of wisdom. Wisdom has a backstory, and we're also going to look at why humans, why we struggle with wisdom. And I'll give you a hint. If you know the garden story, Genesis chapter 3, what's known as the fall, it's interesting that the first conflict in creation was actually a wisdom battle. We're going to look at what that means. And we're going to look at why we need wisdom. So, the backstory on wisdom, the wisdom that we're talking about wisdom from Scripture. And in Hebrew understanding, this is going to be fun, it's the word chokmah. Okay, it's just like you're getting ready to spit a loogie. You can just practice that, chokmah. So imagine it this way, you're going, chok, and your ma's getting ready to smack you on the head. And you go, ma, chokmah. Sounds also like Klingon. Star Trek people. But wisdom, it's this, in Hebrew, it's chokmah. And what is this? Well, I love how the definition the Bible Project guys give. They say wisdom is an invisible creative force governing the universe that can guide people in how to live. It affects everything we do. And see, well, chokmah is an invisible force. It's not an impersonal force. It's actually an attribute of God himself. It's what God used to create everything. He created it with wisdom. And this chokmah, God's wisdom, has been woven into the very fabric of creation. It's a part of everything. We can't escape it. And so when people, when we make wise, good, just decisions, we're working in alignment with this chokmah, this wisdom of God. But when people make bad decisions, they're working against the grain of this wisdom. Proverbs 1:32 explains this. It says, the fools die because they refuse to follow wisdom. They are content to follow their foolish ways, and it will destroy them. But those who listen to me, wisdom, will live in safety and comfort. They will have nothing to fear. Man, sometimes fear gets a grip in our lives because we're not walking in wisdom. Not all the time, but sometimes. And so this chokmah, this wisdom, is like a moral law of the universe. We can't escape it. Now, another way of looking at this, another way this the understanding in Scripture of what this chokmah, this wisdom was, is also used to describe of like, think of a skilled artisan or craftsman who knows how to make something really, really beautiful. They're using chokmah. They know how to make something so stunningly beautiful. So, how do you build a beautiful life? Chokmah. How do you build a beautiful marriage, a beautiful friendship, a beautiful family? God's chokmah, God's wisdom. How do you build a business that will allow God's goodness and God's justice, God's rightness to flow into society? It's through God's wisdom, this chokmah. So, where do we find wisdom? Wisdom, there's all sorts of ideas, there's all sorts of legends. We think wisdom, I just gotta go study hard, I gotta, you know, just learn the hard knocks in life. That was me, like my whole teenage years. Like, I don't wanna learn, I just wanna learn it myself. I wanna learn it the hard way. I remember having lots of conversations with my parents trying to give me wisdom, and I'm like, you know what? I just wanna learn it myself. I wanna learn the hard way. That is actually what Proverbs calls stupid. But where do we find wisdom? Where do we find it? Well, think about it. If wisdom, this chokmah, if this is an attribute of God, it just makes sense that we would find wisdom in God. True? It kind of is not rocket science. It's kind of logical. So this was God's intention right from the beginning of the story. And so here, we're going to go back. Here's the backstory. Back to Genesis. Everyone say two trees. Two trees. Genesis 2:9. Look at the verse we read at the beginning again. The Lord God caused to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden. Now, this tree of life, this is so important because Proverbs tells us, look, wisdom is a tree of life. Tree of life in the garden. Proverbs also tells us that wisdom is a tree of life. See, there's this understanding, there's this thing in the Hebrew understanding that when it comes to the scriptures, see, the Bible was written for us, but it wasn't written to us. It was written to a specific group of people in a certain culture with a certain language, and all of that is important in understanding what is the Bible telling us. Does that mean you need to learn Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek in order to know what the Bible says or to understand it? No. It just means that we need to understand whenever you pick up that Bible and you read it, we automatically bring our North American, Western, 21st century English filters to reading scripture. And most of the time, those filters get in the way. They cause us to read a story or read stuff into the story that was never intended to be read, or how the story was never intended to be understood. And so it's important we understand this. There's this, in the Hebrew understanding, this tree of life, the Genesis tree of life, wasn't just a live forever kind of life. That's actually not the life it's talking about. Eternal life, it's part of it, but that's like such a small part of it. It's actually a really inadequate way of looking at it. The tree of life was referring to this aspect of God's life himself, the life of God. It was a tree embodying God's life, how to live. God's wisdom, this chokmah. That's what this tree was representing. And God's original design was that God together, God and humans would share in this wisdom, in this relationship aspect. God made everything. He made this beautiful garden. And God had designed that we would receive this wisdom from him relationally. In other words, this is kind of the picture. Trees in the garden, eat from all of this. We also know from later in the Genesis story where Adam and Eve, it said that God would come down and walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. And so there's this kind of idea that we can kind of understand that there was this, God would come down and he would hang out with mankind in the garden. He would hang out with them, he'd walk. And I'm sure his plan was, let's eat from this tree. You're going to eat from this tree. And you're going to understand how life in creation is meant to function. Relationship. Genesis 2, 8, and 9. Let's read these again. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had formed. The Lord God caused to grow out of the ground every tree pleasing in appearance and good for food, including the tree of life in the middle of the garden, as well as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now look at, what was he saying? Eat. It's interesting where he says, God commanded, you're free to eat from everyone except this one. Isn't it interesting that God's yeses are way bigger than his no's? Yeah, I remember growing up in church thinking God's no's were way bigger and more plentiful than his yeses. There was a lot, don't do this, don't do that, can't do this, shouldn't do that, don't, no, 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 no. I think, man, I think the enemy's so good at twisting that perspective. It's no different. His MO is the same. It hasn't changed. Twist, distort, and make God look like the bad guy. But God's is like, eat all of these trees, including the tree of life, the one where you're going to get life. You're going to understand how to live. You're going to receive this wisdom. You're going to receive this life. You're going to receive, eat from all of it. Just don't touch the one. It's like, parents, you know this ingrained thing in humans if you've given birth to humans. And you can have all this, and they just go for the one thing they cannot have. Yes, the one toy that their sibling has. They have like 20 around them and they want the one toy their little sister has. Now, this second tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that actually, evil is, it was actually in the rich language, it means the knowing of good and bad. See, evil kind of has this moral connotation to it, and that's not the best description for that word here. It's bad in the context of, it's sucky. It's not good. It's just like this is it's unfortunate. It's harmful. It's the tree of good, knowing good and bad. And this is a tree that God says, just, this one's off limits. Don't take from this one. Because the way, when you do, you're going to die. Don't take. Everyone say, take. Key word there. Don't take from the tree of knowing good and bad for yourself. Don't take. See, God's command was to freely eat. Except don't take. Freely eat all these others. Don't take. And you know what? Again, when we read that, this is where we bring our filters. When we get to this, if you read this and you say, God commanded, and all of a sudden, oh, there's God slapping down the rules. God's that big meanie. He's big. There's something we need to understand about when we see God command something in Scripture. We instantly think rule, follow the rules, and while God's commands are, yes, they are God's commands, yes, they are to be obeyed. But that's just, it's actually a limited view of thinking of God's commands as just a rule to obey or else. That is a limited understanding of God's commands. See, everywhere where we find something God commanding in Scripture, yes, he wants us to obey it, but it's on this invitation of will we trust him? Will we trust him? Young people, when your parents have rules, they're asking, will you trust me in this? Will you trust me in this? God's commands are his invitation to trust his wisdom, that there's stuff about life we are just not going to get, even if he did explain it all to us. Many scholars believe that based on some of the original language with this Genesis story, that the picture of humans was in this very innocent state. They were almost like children, not fully understanding of all of the dynamics of life. And you know, if you think about it, there's certain knowledge that is just too much for children. Yes? You know, if your five-year-old comes up and, Mommy, where do babies come from? The wise parent will not give all the intricacies of sexual life and all of the details about orgasms and pleasure and everything else. You're going to tell them just what they need to know at that age, yes? Trying to tell a five-year-old how to drive a car, it's going to go right over their head, and you do not want them driving that car. Trying to tell a five-year-old how to perform brain surgery, you do not want them even to have a sharp knife in their hand, let alone cutting open somebody's skull. There's certain knowledge that's just beyond us. But with time and through a relationship with someone who is skilled, that can train them, they might be able to drive a car someday or perform brain surgery. Super quiet. This is kind of the picture that we see in Genesis. See, the story in Genesis was revealing something more than just a historical account of the universe. It's actually revealing how life is meant to work. How life is meant to work. How we as humans were created and how we are to find and discover and live out what our purpose in life is. This is what Genesis is revealing to us. And it's so important, man, we get this right, because you get Genesis right, you're going to make, the rest of the Bible will make sense. You don't get Genesis right, the rest of the Bible will be weird. It will not make sense. But see, we find out in Genesis how God's, how life was meant to be lived, how life works, and how we live out our purpose as God's image bearers ruling in creation on his behalf in partnership with him, accessing his wisdom that he gives us at just the right time so that we can know how life is meant to work, so that we can sort out, we need God's wisdom to sort out what is good and bad about life. And so this was God's plan, but so here's the question. How would they get this wisdom? Unfortunately, if you know the Genesis story, you'll find it in Genesis 3. We'll give you a quick recap. Humans chose poorly. They chose the wrong tree. They were deceived, and they chose from the tree of knowledge. The enemy came. He fed Eve a lie that God was holding out on wisdom. God is holding out on you, Eve. You don't need God to give you wisdom. Can you say that? Say give. You don't need God to give you wisdom. You don't need God to give you wisdom and tell you how life works. You can just take. Can you say take? You can just take this knowledge fruit right over here. Look at it. It looks good. It looks good to make you wise. You'll figure it all out on your own. We have God. So this is a story. We have God being willing to give. The enemy says, come and take. God is ready to give. The enemy is always about us taking. And this is actually the foundation for the whole rest of the Bible. It's a story of a God willing to give, even though humans just want to take. And if you know anything about life, if you've been alive for any few moments, you know that life in this world kind of sucks right now. It's broken. Genesis 3:6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now again, this isn't just, it is, yes, they were disobeying God, but it's so much bigger than that. This isn't just bad humans disobeying God and now everything has gone wrong. This is humans choosing to take and go against the Chokhmah code, the wisdom code that God had woven into the fabric of creation. They were now going against the way life and creation was meant to live through this life and wisdom of God. They were going against it, and by doing that, everything was now broken, including humans, and everything came under a curse. And God in his grace condemned to death so that that which was immortal, so that that which was eternal would not become immortal. That which was evil would not become immortal. Because now in this broken, taking, bad state, if they now would eat from the tree of life, it would be a forever ugly, a forever broken, a forever cursed thing. See, they went against the wisdom code God had written into creation. God in his wonder, God in his beauty. He said, this is how life works. I have made this incredible world. I've made this incredible creation. It is all for you. There is everything you could ever need, everything you could ever desire, things you haven't even thought you you're going to want yet. It's all in there. And it's going to be so amazing. But there's intricacies of how this life works, how this planet works. There's intricacies of how nature works so that you're going to be able to mine it without raping the ground. So that you're going to be able to use what I've put in it for your benefit and not just be wild consumers. There's intricacies about how it works that we're going to do this together. I want to do this with you. I'm going to give you wisdom. It's going to be this relationship, and you're going to learn how to have the best marriage. You're going to have to learn how to have the best of friendships. You're going to learn how to have the most amazing life, and we're going to do it together. But instead of trusting God, they decided to choose on their own what was they thought was good. They wanted to decide what is good on their own. And creation becomes broken under a curse, and this is a human condition ever since. Isn't this true? You know, how much do we want a good life? We want the life that Chokmah brings. We just want it our way. Yes. I want to do it in my timing. I don't want to wait. We want to get it independently versus relationally from the one who actually is wisdom, the one who has life. Man, I remember so many years, 22 years of my life living this way, thinking I know what's best. And man, when you're a firstborn child, you know even more what's right. You don't tell me what to do. Every firstborn, can you relate? How many firstborns do we have in the room? This is the quality of a firstborn. I think it's because there's so much trauma we also experience as being the first experiment of human life our parents have. There's so much they don't know. All of the things they do wrong is on the firstborn. That's why we're tough. We're going to make it in this world. We're going to handle it. Because our parents don't know everything. But we want a good life, but we want it our way, on our time. We want to decide what's right versus relationally receiving. We want to take what we think is good for us instead of allowing God to give what he knows is the best for us. And in many ways, everyday humans, we are sitting in front of the tree of knowledge of good and bad. And the question is, what are we going to do? Every decision. Will we trust our own judgment, deciding what's good or bad for ourselves by our own wisdom? Will we take it? Or will we choose to trust God and receive his wisdom, his way, in this relational connection with him? Will we receive God's wisdom even when it's not intuitive to us or when it doesn't feel right to me? I love what Tim Mackey, he's one of the scholars, the resident theologians of the Bible Project, if you're familiar with them. If not, check out BibleProject.org. It is the best resource you will find for understanding the Bible. He says, we need wisdom that is above and beyond our own, that will govern and guide what our eyes see, what our stomachs want, and what our bodies think they need. Isn't that good? We need wisdom that is above and beyond our own, that will govern and guide what our eyes see, what our stomachs want, and what our bodies think they need. Why? Because what we see is not always, we don't always interpret it right, yes? And our desires, they're untrained. And they run on a broken operating system called self. I want it. And we don't even know or understand our own deepest needs. But you know who does? The God who made us in his wisdom. So here we are. Broken, cursed world. Broken, stupid humans. Is there any hope? What hope is there? Well, there is. How can we get wisdom? How can we now live in wisdom? This is where the story gets so crazy, and this might be a bit nerded out, but some of you, you know, fellow nerds, you might appreciate this. But if anything, I hope this just gives you a new, huh, never thought about that. I wonder if there's something else I'm missing in the Bible. But look at this. Back to Garden Eden. The first woman chose wrongly at a tree. Would you agree? Yes. What do we discover in Proverbs about wisdom? It's a woman. So let's think. First woman chose wrong at a tree, the tree of life, God's wisdom. And now wisdom, hundreds of years later when Proverbs is written, maybe thousands, who knows. And now wisdom is personified as a woman. What is that? If you know anything about Easter eggs in script writing, God has hidden all sorts of little Easter eggs all over his book. And these are like little Easter eggs where God is revealing, yes, you guys blew it. But I have a plan, and I am working my plan, and I'm going to heal and restore and fix everything. And wisdom, you're going to be able to get wisdom from me again. And how is this going to work? This is where Jesus comes in. Wisdom, now follow. Wisdom is a tree of life. And this tree is also a picture of the way God would rescue and heal and restore everything that was broken through another tree called the cross of Jesus Christ. Tychonius, who was an ancient church father, he says this, indeed, the tree of life is the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross. Jesus in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does that sound like? Kind of sounds like wisdom. And it was through Jesus' death on the cross that in some mysterious way, in a different realm we couldn't see, it was like this returning back to the garden, to the original tree of life, where only God understood how this worked. But what Jesus did on the cross was also a reverse back to the garden where everything was first broken. And this God-man chose differently. He chose relationship and relational trust with his heavenly Father, who said, this is how we're going to rescue the world. You're going to die and come back to life. And anyone who puts their trust in you will now be able to live. And this is what Jesus chose. He chose the Father's way. He chose life through trusting relationship. His death broke the curse. And he made it possible by simple trust and receiving his life. We could now live not just forever. We could live the true good life. See, life in Jesus, life through Jesus, that is the good life. It is the way of life where he gives us his wisdom for all of the intricacies of life. How do we live in a world? How do we have strong families when the culture around us is so messed up when it comes to family? Wisdom. How do I go to school and try to be a nice person when everybody's like horrible so much of the time? It hurts so bad to feel like I'm getting stomped on half the time. Wisdom that God would give. How do we navigate relationships that are so messy because it's broken people trying to figure out life? Wisdom. 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 The God who made you is a God who knows how life works, and he wants to give you his wisdom for life. Can we stand, church? I'm going to invite us. I want you to close your eyes, and I want to, if we could take just a moment. Where do you need God's wisdom? You know, over the next couple weeks, we're going to unpack more of the specifics, what this looks like, the ins and outs of life. What does wisdom look like? How do we figure it out? What does it actually look like? Today was just foundation for recognizing wisdom isn't head knowledge. Wisdom's somebody who's been around the blocks and has learned through hard knocks of life. Wisdom comes from God himself. You know, if you're facing some circumstance, I don't even need wisdom. Can we just pray? If you want, that's you, just put up your hand. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need your wisdom for this. God, I need. And see, God's wisdom is always about life. It's always about flourishing. It's always about causing things to be better than what they were before. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's always fun, but it means it's going to work. God, we need your wisdom. And Father, I thank you that you see every hand raised. Father, those that need wisdom for managing some really tenuous relationships. God, those that need wisdom for making some life decisions about their future. Man, some of you are at turning points. You are in transition points about your life. And there is nothing that supersedes the wisdom of God giving you direction about the best course of action to take. God wants to give you his wisdom. There are those that are trying to navigate. Man, how do I do this whole business and kingdom thing? God wants to give you his wisdom. Father, I pray every hand raised. God, I pray that there would be such a, Father, just a new tuning in to the frequency of your life. God, beyond just, God, give me the details about what I'm supposed to do. Can we even just pray this together? Just say, Heavenly Father, I need your wisdom. But more than anything, I want you. God, would you cause me to have a new hunger? To know you with a greater desire, not just know what to do or how to do, but God, that I would know you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I just pray your peace. God, your wisdom is first of all peaceable. God, let your peace come on every restless heart. Every anxious heart, your peace as a path for your wisdom to come. And you know, just with our eyes closed, I want to pray one final prayer. We can pray this all together, but I want to give an opportunity for anyone in the room or maybe online watching. You're not walking in that, man, that sink, that relationship with God. Man, he's just not the But the God, follow all my rules or else. He's the God. It's like, I got the way of life. Will you follow me in this path? Come walk the road with me. I love the invitation in the First Nations Version New Testament where Jesus says, come follow me. First Nation Version says, would you come and walk the road with me? And that is Jesus' invitation to you today. Will you come and walk the road with him? Let's pray. And the way this is just giving you words and giving you language on where that can start, just say, Jesus, I hear you pulling on my heart. And I thank you for everything that you've done so that I could have life and life abundantly. And I say yes to your invitation. Thank you for forgiving me, for cleansing me of all the badness in me. And giving me a new start. I'm gonna walk with you, Jesus. I say yes to you and life your way. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you wanna take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the next step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.